If you would, throughout the week, since he's not in the room, he doesn't like to be thanked for things. But just to show you how quickly the DVDs are being made available, Sunday Morning Bible Studies is already on the back table. So thank Chuck for the efforts that he's going to be doing this week. He's helped me a lot in getting things prepared, getting the announcements done, and he's put forth a lot of effort, and then his efforts will be continued throughout this week. So continue to express your appreciation to him. And I know he does not mind making as many copies as necessary. We'll burn as many CDs as we can. Also, if you're not aware, the DVDs that we had that we ran out for the fair, there's more back there. We got some more. I didn't want to go into this week without them. And so if you would like to pass one off, these have Bible studies, three really introduction Bible studies that we encourage you to pass on to your friends or take and watch yourselves. And they can help you a little bit more in your understanding of the Word of God. As we mentioned this morning, our gospel meeting is beginning. If you noticed, on the other side of your sheet is this morning's lesson. And so as we look at these things, we want to think about this series. When I asked the question this morning, why this series? Why now? Some might be asking, you know, why are we going through these particular lessons? What is needful that we look at these lessons? We've just heard multiple times, there is a God, and I firmly go along with Him in saying, I believe that there is a God. And we sang a song, there is a God. But not everybody believes us. It's interesting when you look at polls that are being offered on websites, in newspapers, more and more we find that there are those who question whether there's a God, who really aren't sure as to whether there's a God. And so we're going to be looking at some things this week that I hope will help us, first and foremost, in firming up our belief in God, but also will help us that we can help others see that there is great reason to believe in God. So this morning we're going to take our time and we're going to look at some of the things that we're going to be talking about. But one of the reasons that we're looking at these things is because the world is messed up. This baby, that's a baby's hand holding his mother's hand. This baby was born in England 4 days before the cutoff date to where doctors will fight to keep a baby alive. This woman spent 2 hours waiting for her son to die while the doctors and the nurses stood around her and did nothing. There was a similar case here in the U.S., I believe it was last year, where a woman lied and told the doctor she was further along. Her child was saved at an earlier date in the pregnancy than this child was at. Why this series? Well, to put it in the words of my good friend Daniel Henson, when I posted this on Facebook, he replied and said, in a world where so many people insist that we save the caribou, or save the polar bear, or save the rainforest, where is the sanctity for human life? In a land where it is illegal to crush or destroy in any way an eagle's egg, millions are aborted daily. When we've reached a point in time to where mankind views itself as nothing more than the supreme animal living upon this earth, then that's why we're having this series. We've reached a critical point. We've reached a point where in our school systems, our children are indoctrinated. From the earliest of ages, they're told we are nothing more than amoeba that squiggled their way up out of pond scum
transformed into various different matter throughout time, eventually becoming apes, and then transforming into the supreme being that we are, man. When our children are being taught we're nothing but animals, it's not too hard to just stand by and watch it and die. It's not too hard to say, we'll do nothing. Folks, we have reached a time where the world is full on against us. We've remained silent for way too long. We've allowed movies such as The Land Before Time, Ice Age, Jurassic Park, and many others to tell us that dinosaurs walked this earth over 300 million years ago, long before mankind ever stepped foot upon this earth. We've allowed the humanist doctrines of the world to pervade our nation. Folks, when you take God out of the picture, you might as well take the morals out. And so that's why this series, this lesson this morning is going to be kind of like the previews at the beginning of a DVD where it shows you, all right, this new movie's coming out, this new movie's coming out. You might want to watch that. It's kind of like that. That's what we're going to be doing this morning. I want you to leave the building this morning with an understanding of what we're going to be talking about this week. Because I don't want anybody to go, well, I didn't know what to tell people. I didn't know exactly what you were going to be talking about, so I just told them we were having a meeting. I want you to be able to say, this is what we're going to be talking about. And so join with me as we look at some of the titles of our lesson, because it is past time for us to take a stand. It is time for us to stand up and say, I believe in God. I believe in a God who created the world in 6 24-hour days. I believe in a God that has high expectations of His creation. I believe in a God that while those expectations are high, He has set forth a plan that when we fail, we can be brought back in a proper relationship with God. It's time for us to stand up and say, I demand that alternate trains of thought be taught in our school system. I'm not saying we should teach creation only. I don't want anyone to understand me in that. Some might go, well, we should. But when you start telling them what they can and cannot teach, how are we any different? They say we can't teach creation. We don't want to be just like them and say you can't teach evolution. It's a train of thought. I have no problems with it being taught as long as alternate trains of thought are taught as well. And so Monday night, we're going to talk about the big question. God, are you really there? That's the big question on everyone's mind, right? Even those who claim to be religious, they're not sure. Studies have been shown throughout theology courses, those who teach theology in the universities. You ask many of them if they believe in God, they're going, I don't think so. They teach the study of God. They're not sure if they believe themselves. These are the schools where the religious organizations are sending their preachers, their pastors, their priests to study, and they come out, not sure if there's a God. And so we're going to ask that question. God, are you really there? Is there a God? We're going to look for a case between God and evolution. Which one has a stronger stance? We're going to ask the question, evolution, is it still a theory or has it become a fact? To listen to many talk today, many of the scientists, many of your science teachers, they don't teach the theory of evolution anymore. They teach evolution. A theory means something we think it might be. This is something we propose. We haven't quite proven it to be true yet. But they like to drop that theory part and just say Darwinian evolution. Is it a theory? Is it fact? Are there methods that they use for dating these organisms, these rocks, these fossils?
Their dating methods, are they really accurate? Is the world truly, has it been proven to be 4.5 billion to 5 billion years ago? You watch movies like Land Before Time. You read books like Centennial. You read many of the documents in the world today and they'll say, yes, the world is 4.5 to 5 billion years ago. We've narrowed it down to within half a billion. That's still a pretty big gap there, isn't it? Is it a fact? Are they accurate? We're going to ask the question, is evolution and the belief thereof a matter of faith? You talk to many scientists, they'll go, no, it's not a matter of faith, it's a matter of science. We're going to look at the ways that they go about these things, and we're going to see that there are a number of assumptions. We're going to talk about those assumptions Monday evening. So I encourage you to invite your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your co-workers to come out and be with us Monday evening as we look at that question, God, are you really there? And we look at science and what science has to offer, the reasoning behind the science, and ask, do they really have all the questions? Which does it take more faith to believe in, evolution or God? Tuesday night, we're going to ask the question, God, is that you? God, what did you say? We live in a world where there are a number of documents that claim to be inspired documents from God. We're going to ask the question, which document should I believe? Are there any other revelations that God has given to mankind that I should hold? The Quran is one document that proposes to be a further teaching of Allah, God, the God of the Old Testament. The Quran recognizes Jesus Christ. The Quran recognizes Moses and the teachings of the prophets. We're going to look a little bit into that. We're going to ask a few questions about Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon that was supposedly received from the angel Moroni. Like I said, there are a number of documents here in this world that claim to be from the Word of God. Amazingly, most of those firmly believe that the Old and New Testament is a revelation of God too. And so we're going to look at some things in the New Testament that I think clearly show God was done. And that we should not look to anything else. And then we're going to ask the question, if the Bible is God's inspired Word, what does He want from me? Now you talk to a lot of your friends who believe in God and they'll go, yes, I believe in the Bible. I believe it is God's Word. But then you start talking to them about what God wants from them. They go, no, I don't think He really wants that. So we're going to ask that question, what does God want from me? What are His expectations in my life? Wednesday evening, we're going to bring it in to the home congregation a little bit. We're going to make the statement, God, I don't want to die. Now, many of us probably have made that statement if perhaps some problem came up or we were afraid for our life. We're like, God, don't let me die. But we're going to ask the question, are you physically alive or are you spiritually alive? Because I'm afraid that there are many that are walking around in this world who are physically alive but spiritually dead as the proverbial doornail. We're going to ask the question of ourselves, are we truly alive in our service to God? In Revelation chapter 3, there in verse 1, to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, Jesus dictates to John, says, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. This was a congregation that others thought highly of. Jesus admits, you got a name that you're alive. In other words, you're doing some work. But Jesus knew the truth. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I truly spiritually alive or am I just going through the motions? Am I a spiritual zombie? Are you dead to to the work of the local church. You know, this week is an excellent opportunity to, if you are dead, to have some CPR. We won't call it mouth-to-mouth. Defibrillator? We'll just pump a few jewels through you. Maybe we can kickstart your spiritual heart again. So join us Wednesday evening as we ask the question, or as we make the statement, God, I don't want to die. Thursday, God, please forgive me. I mentioned in the beginning of this lesson that we have reached a point in humanity where we believe we're the top of everything. Not just the top of the food chain, but we are the supreme being. We have reached a point to where we have become very arrogant in our attitude toward God, saying we don't need you for creation. We don't need your word to tell us what to do. In fact, we don't need you for salvation because we don't even believe you exist. And we don't think you're capable of doing anything. We spend our time going through the me generation. It's all about me. You know what the country music singer. Want to talk about me? Want to talk about I? Want to talk about number one? Oh, my, me, my. What I think, what I want, what I know, what I see, something like that. It's amazing I know that many words to a country music song. Toby Keith. But that's us, ain't it? I don't want to hear what you think. I don't want to hear what you want. We scream at the top of our lungs, it's mine and I want it now. We've become very selfish in our lives. We control our destiny, is what we say. Is how we act. It's the way that we live. We're like James said, those who go into a city and say, well, I'm going to go over to this city and I'm going to buy and sell and I'm going to make a profit. What did James say? Oops. You don't even know if you're going to be there. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, I will do this or that. We're like that farmer who brought in those wonderfully large amount of crops and he says, oh, what am I going to do with all of my crops? My barns aren't big enough. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build me some bigger barns. And there I'm going to stow my crops. And I will say to my soul, soul, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We go through life thinking we've got control of everything, don't we? It's what I want. It's how I want to live. How many of us are ready for God to say, you fool. This night, your soul is required of you. Then whose will these things be? We put so much time and effort into this world, into the things of this world, and we don't realize we've been driving. You ever seen the bumper sticker? God is my co-pilot. Those people are idiots. They're morons. If you're the one driving, pull over and let God take the wheel. You see, we don't need God as our co-pilot. It's time to let God take control. It's time that we center our lives on God. It's time that we have the attitude in earnest, not just say these words, but truly live them, that Paul uttered in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. When he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. That's a big statement, folks. Paul is saying it's no longer my wants, my desires. It's what God wants. He says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Join us Thursday evening as we look at God. Please forgive me. And we turn to God and say, God, we've been wrong. We've been selfish. We've been arrogant. And Lord, we humbly bow before You. Then join us Friday evening When we ask the question, God, why me? When I saw on Facebook what Brother Larry had posted about Melissa earlier in the week, I felt his pain. The doctors told him, there's nothing we can do. You need to go ahead and just remove the baby. And Larry and Melissa, and their faith in God, said, no, we'll let nature take its course. Nature, under the direction of God, took its course. Many suffer fates like that, and they'll turn and say, why'd you let that happen, God? September 11th, 2001. Many atheists kept quiet. Many evolutionists bit their tongue for a little while. But many who claimed to be Christians cried out, God, why did you let this happen? How could you let those 3,000 individuals burn up in those fires, be destroyed in that building? How could you let those individuals on Flight 93 crash into the ground in Pennsylvania? How could you let the individuals on that flight go into the Pentagon? How could you let these things happen? I say the atheists and the evolutionists bit their tongue. It didn't last very long. And they began to ask, how could the God that you claim to follow allow these things to happen? Where was your God on September 11th, 2001? You know, it's a pretty valid question. We're going to look at that. Where is God when tragedy strikes? Should we blame God for everything that goes wrong? Does God really allow bad things to happen to good people? When Jews were being gassed by the millions throughout Germany and Poland in World War II, where was God? When almost an equal number died in Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, they ask, where was God? We're going to ask that question as well. We're going to look at Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, four times in the 107th Psalm, we see the phrase, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Four times. God, I need your help. And you look four times, the reply is, He delivered, or He saved, He brought them out of their distress. Now you look at the deliveries that were given to the Israelite nation. They cried out to God from Assyrian and Babylonian captivity, and He heard them. But life wasn't all rosy, was it? They had to go back and they had to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. They still had to deal with the attacks and the problems of the cities and the peoples that were around them. God didn't just deliver them from their troubles and go, okay, have fun. I got your back the rest of your life. God will deliver us from our troubles. It may not be the deliverance we want. It may not be the deliverance we think we need. Couldn't help but think of David. And compare Brother Larry to David. Only he wasn't praying for some sin that he had done. But you remember David, after all was said and done and Bathsheba had, had the baby and the Lord struck the baby, and David's like, please, please, please save this child. He could have been crying out, God, I can't believe You'd do that to me. Or do this to me, not to the baby. He doesn't deserve to bear the brunt of my sins. But you look at David. And the servants were scared to death to tell him the child had died because he had been starving himself, not bathing. Just looked a horrible individual. He finally notes the way that they're acting. He says, the child's dead. Yep. He closes up his grief, takes a bath, gets dressed, and worships God. Where's God? He's here. He's always here. And He's always there to help in times of trouble.
We're going to look at that some more Friday evening. And I hope you'll join us each evening as we look at these topics. I want to reiterate that each and every one of these lessons are going to be available on CD, going to be available on our website. You've got this outline. Hopefully you followed along.
Copy down some things. Keep that. So that Monday you can go around and you can tell your friends, hey, we're going to talk about evolution tonight. We're going to talk about, is there a reason to believe in God? I'd like you to come. You've got the subjects of the meeting. You've got opportunity to talk to your friends. Perhaps one of these will really be something that they feel like they need to hear.
As I said, the success of this meeting is yours. It lies on your shoulders. Let's do what we can. As we go through these studies, we encourage you to bring your Bibles. Tomorrow evening, we're going to take a page out of Paul's book, his playbook, where when he preached to the Athenians and he didn't open a single passage of Scripture. The majority of tomorrow evening's lesson is going to be looking at the physical evidence, the things that science teaches. We won't be turning to the Scriptures a whole lot, but we will be turning to the Scriptures some. Because I firmly believe that if someone doesn't believe in God, it does no good to turn to the Bible. If they don't believe in God, they don't believe in His inspired Word. So we have to convince them of God without His inspired Word. And that's why we're talking about that Monday evening, then Tuesday night we're talking about the Word of God. Because they can know about God, and if they don't follow His Word, they're lost. So let's go through this study. Let's invite. As I mentioned in our Bible study, continue to pray. Pray this afternoon. Pray tonight. Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Every opportunity you have, I solicit your prayers on the behalf of this meeting, on the behalf of our visitors. First of all, that we'll have some. Second of all, that they'll listen. They'll study like those noble Bereans in Acts chapter 17 who were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they studied the Word daily. They examined the Scriptures daily, making sure that what they were being taught was so. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Don't take my word for it. Do the study on your own. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. Be here this week. Help this meeting be a success. Do all that you can in your power. But let's be about the business of teaching the lost. You're prepared as far as the subjects. Tonight we're going to look at a passage of Scripture about a Levite, a priest, and a Samaritan. You might have been thinking, well, he said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What about Sunday night? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Levite, priest, Samaritan. Which one are you? Do we just walk on by? Do we ignore those who might be searching for help spiritually? Or are we the Samaritan? We stop and help. It's up to you. So I hope that you'll join us this week as we look at these lessons, as we study how to improve our faith in God, how to evangelize the world that there is a God, that He cares, and that He has told us what we should do. Once again, if you can't get them to come, if they have an internet connection, each of these lessons, barring any technical difficulties, will be available on our website, truthandright.org. I like the title we have above that on the website, In Search of Truth and Right. One of our advertisements said, got questions? We're looking for answers, was what it was supposed to say. And it got cut off in the translation. We're looking for answers. We invite you to come and study with us. I believe the Word of God contains every answer to every question mankind can utter. We just need to study it and obey it. Perhaps you're here
you haven't been the child of God that you should be. Maybe you haven't been inviting anyone. Maybe you've been remaining silent. Maybe you've taken some invitations home and you left them sitting there on your table. Maybe you intended to send some to your friends and you forgot about it and you're like, well, the meeting started now. If I put it in the mail now, they won't get it. Well, they'll probably get it by Tuesday if it's local. Maybe Wednesday. And you can always write on the back, sorry, I got it to you late. They're available online. And then draw the addresses right there on the invitation. Perhaps you're here and some of the things we've talked about has pricked your conscience. Maybe you've gone through life wondering, is there a God? I know I haven't delved into it very much. We will talk about it tomorrow evening and the lessons to follow. But perhaps you've heard just enough that you believe that there's a God. Perhaps you've heard in previous lessons that Jesus is His Son that came to die upon the cross. We would be remiss if we did not offer the invitation every time we preach the Word of God. The invitation of the Lord is offered to you. He said, you come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Put your cares upon the Lord. Take up His yoke of following Him. Search for eternal life. Begin your journey. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you have not been faithful. You've not been an active worker in the kingdom of God. Perhaps Jesus is thinking to you and writing His letter, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Awake, arise, and return in faithful service to the Lord by repenting of your sins. Whatever your situation might be, make it right this day as we stand and as we sing.